end up being stranded on the street for 2-3 days before they are able to find their feet and find their way to wherever, maybe family members, where they can be accepted. So this is the reason why we try to create a network to support people like this, because after their deportation, we realize that people who are deported out of Germany or Europe end up without any form of support back home there. So it's like another form of persecution. So that's what we are doing locally in Nigeria, to support such people by offering opportunity for telephone calls to family members who could come and pick them up, or organizing accommodation, short-time accommodations for them, maybe 1 or 2 nights at the maximum, before they are able to get in contact with family members or locate where they are going to. We support them with transportation costs also. And more also, we try to see how we go beyond that to accompany them in processes that can make them get their foot back on ground, especially for the children. We try to organize like volunteering persons down here, especially from the community where they lived in before they were deported, to support the children with minimum of school fees, so that the mothers or the parents can be able to organize themselves when and the children's stress with school is being taken care of by volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks so much. I think that's so important, because in general, in the German public, I think the focus is never really on what it actually means for people to be deported. And especially because of that, I think it's very important to be in contact also to the people after the deportation, right? Because what that means, and I think that's an important point. Maybe if we start our conversation with what's happening in Germany to the people, maybe... can you give us an insight of what your feeling is, how in the last months, if concerning Corona, there was a stop in deportations, or they were just continued, or what your view is on that?
Yeah, actually, in April, when the Corona pandemic was at its peak the world over, Germany was still bent on even enforcing deportation. There were people kept in deportation prison even when different countries started to close down their borders, and the issue of Corona was really high, and there was a need also to release people from deportation prison so as to give them the opportunity to protect themselves from the Corona, and at the same time to help curb the spread. But nevertheless, Germany kept people still in prison, especially people from countries like Nigeria, where they are very sure of porous access to deport people to, until they had no option around the end of March where they were released. That was in March. Then still, they still wanted to make attempts in between April and June. We had some kind of deportation and dates, but they couldn't make it possible because it was very clear that everywhere was closed and there was this heavy fear of the Corona. And so nobody was ready to take the risk of accepting deportees. And so the issue of landing became a problem, because we had to do a little bit more scandal also in Nigeria to let them know that Germany was one of the hotspots, and allowing Germany to deport people means opening Nigeria into these dangers of the pandemic. But nevertheless, the success we would attribute to this whole processes that at the end of the day there was no deportation. For months, Germany took up again to start the deportation processes, which they did in December. So the main thing is, the most horrible situation with this deportation in December is the obvious show of lies that you can see from the situation of people who were deported from Germany. Germany propagates one kind of propaganda of encouraging people to voluntarily return back to their country. So they want to kind of make a kind of light description of deportation, even when we criticize it strongly as also forced deportation, because the people have no option, are left with no option but to choose to go back by themselves it's not as if they really want to go back, but just because of the trauma, the isolation, the criminalization of people who are left in a situation or a status called Duldung, which is so-called toleration in Germany, and the people are forced to decide to go back to their country. So we realize now that even this offer of voluntary return is an obvious lie, because people who opt to voluntarily, so-called voluntarily return to their countries could be deported even in the process of preparing for this voluntary return. So this is what is the biggest scandal of the moment, once again, that Germany shows itself clearly to say, yes, they are ready to deport people at any cost, and they don't care how much the scandal goes.
Yeah, I think that shows very clearly that they really do it at any cost, seemingly. I mean, especially now when in December and January the numbers of corona are rising, I mean, as one aspect, and still it seems like major priority of this German state is to forcibly take people out of their lives and send them somewhere around the world. And yeah, it's sometimes I'm missing the words in this situation, but yeah. We are here for talking, and now what you pointed out is that people say, okay, with this, living in this society and the way the society and the state treats us, okay, we are forced to actually accept an offer of so-called voluntary return, but still they are being deported. And maybe going out from that point, what does it mean personally for the people, like the actual situation of maybe trusting that this proceeding would go on and they don't have to fear to be woken up at night or at what time, whatever, and be forcibly taken to the airport. Maybe if you have any insights into this, can you describe a little bit what it means for the people to be in the situation, being taken under force to an airport?
Yeah, actually, from the very first instance, in Germany, arriving in Germany, it's very clear that yes, you have a process to go through. So I think the life of the refugee in Germany is from day one the fear of deportation. Even when you feel you are new, everything is still under process. You are still under this fear of what will come, the unexpected that will come soon, because you live with people who are living in terrible situation. You see every day of your life, people are taken away, and so you're always feeling one day it could be your turn. So this is exactly how it is. So the issue is, even when courts had made decisions that the refugees have a right to night rest, that they could sleep at night, is their private space, and no arrests should be enforced. But nevertheless, they don't care when it's deportation. The execution goes on, and at the end of the day, when you are deported, and nobody is even able to fight for you again, because when you are out of the borders of Germany, then it's finished, especially when it has to do with countries like Nigeria. So the main thing is, if you apply for asylum, and after your asylum application process, you are so-called tagged as a rejected asylum seeker, and we have to live in this constant fear.
Ich hoffe, wir sind jetzt wieder telefonisch verbunden mit Rex. Are you there?
Yes.
Where did we leave? I think you were pointing out the general experience of being in Hamburg, being in Germany, and like from the very beginning of the process, actually fearing deportation.
Yeah.
And that legally, supposedly, people are not supposed to be taken away at night while they sleep in their private homes, but still they do it. I think there was somewhere where we left off.
Yeah, the big problem remains. The question remains that is directed at addressing this problem of private space. As a resident in Germany, being a German or whoever you are resident in Germany, there's this issue of my private space. The policeman has no right to get into my house without an express permission from the court. But there has been a kind of a shying away from the reality if the refugees' accommodation spaces are private spaces. Even when everything proves obviously that, yes, the refugee space is a private space, and so before you encroach, even if you are a state or if you are a police officer, you need a kind of court order. But still, there's a lot of cover-up. And in the past 3 years, there has been this pressure to declare this reality, which the court is still delaying and not even giving a decision. Like the Baden-Württemberg court is still pending, having a pending case of the question of whether the brutal police raid that took place in Elvang in 2018 was legal or not legal. So even when other court processes has proven that, yes, it is really illegal, but the Baden-Württemberg court is still pending, so that everybody forgets about it before they come up with a decision that may not be really interesting for anybody at the end of the day.
Mm.
So this is exactly the whole thing. So we see a situation where Germany is speaking. It's like somebody speaking two different things with the same mouth. One time they say this and the other time they say that. So when we talk about human rights, the question is human rights for specific persons or that it's not valid for others? So this is one thing we know about Germany, trying to cut the rights of migrants and try to classify people from one group to the other by their discriminatory and racist policies. So the issue of asylum in Germany is one of all this classification also, as you know. And like I said earlier, if you are an asylum seeker, you apply for asylum in Germany, you are heard on the normal ground by the Federal Office of Migration and Refugees, which they call BAMF. And if you are rejected from this hearing, you have an opportunity to make an appeal to the administrative court against the decision. You could be invited for a second hearing in the administrative court. And when you are rejected this time again, then you have only one opportunity to make an appeal to a higher court to kind of clarify why you are against the decision. But this time it has not to do with you personally. It has to do with the decision, if there was any legal breach from what the judge made in the previous rejection. But as you know, no higher judge will undermine the lower judge decision. They will just legitimate it. It's just watch my back, I watch your back. It's the status quo. Mm-hmm. Then in this case, your asylum is assumed to be finished if the judge says there was no legal breach, and so everything was done in the normal way. Then you are now you have now exploited all your legal possibilities in that first asylum application process. Then thereafter, you are now left in a kind of a limbo situation called the so-called Duldung status, that is the toleration. If you translate in English, it's always an identity document with a red line across it. According to Germany, it's not a residency paper. It's just like a tag that you are here. We know you are here and just pending when we have opportunity to throw you out of the country. So this is how it is. And then at this time, you are now faced with this massive fear of deportation. Even if the deportation from the very day, first day, there's this fear of deportation. But at this time, it becomes more massive because now you are going to see life pressures. That means different threats, criminalization processes for you not cooperating, what they call Mitwirkungspflicht, that you are not cooperating or collaborating with the authority to identify yourself according to a so-called foreigner's law that says everybody residing in this country has to identify themselves. But for these people, refugees, their identification is only targeted at having papers to be able to deport them. So it's like a situation of limbo, and at the end of the day, sleepless night, you sleep with one eye open, one eye closed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think it's for people like me who have the privilege of never ever having to face such a situation, I think it's hard to believe what that actually means, to go to bed and not knowing if at night there will be a hostile police force raiding your room to take you to a place you might not have been for a long time, where there might be dangers. yeah, I think it's really hard to imagine. Yeah, maybe what I also saw in your work, or maybe no, another question. Have you any accounts of the people that you talk to, of them being treated with violence in the course of the deportation process?
Yeah, the deportation in itself is violent. So because busting into someone's room, not ignoring that there are children sleeping at 3 a.m., murders sick people, and taking them out of the house and taking them to the airport, giving them 5 minutes to pack up their things, and then at the end of the day, under massive police escorts, and finally put on board a flight with 3-4 times more police officers than the people who are being deported. It's a situation where you have minimum of 2 police to each person on board the flight. In most cases, 3 persons to 1, 3 policemen officers to 1 person. So that alone is violent. And then you come to experience situations where people are being fixed with helmet. People are being used with a teaser, electric shock. And people are being given injections just to make them calm down on board the flight. Normally, by German standard, let's say directly, nobody is allowed to force you to take medications or allowed to receive injections. But in this case, it doesn't apply. They force people to inject them just to make them calm down so that the deportation can be enforced effectively. So this is what the experiences are. And this we hear every now and then from the deported person, because part of our engagement in Nigeria is not just only to support them, but also to be able to get this testimony so that we can tell exactly how the situation is to the German society, how brutal the whole deportation process is taking place.
Yeah, thank you so much that you do this, sharing it with the public, because really, normally you don't hear about this. And maybe if some of our listeners are like, well, but forced medication, I can't imagine that's true. Let me tell you from the host of this show, it is true and it is happening, because many times people are very sick and they legally put forward medical documents documenting that they are very sick. However, the German authorities are of the opinion they could forcibly treat those people. Sorry, that was just me coming out of my role as a moderator into the role of a person also having to add something to that. Yeah, thank you very much that you do this work. You also mentioned just quickly, I know you said you only have half an hour, right? So we have to hurry up a little bit, I guess. You mentioned that you also have to do with a lot of people who are sick. Do you have the feeling that their sickness is, I mean, apart from forced medication, is, how to say, their sickness is respected or treated according, people are treated accordingly, and is it organized that maybe if they arrive to Nigeria, at least they will get medical treatment right away?
Yeah, I give you a practical example of what happened in Irvine in Foxheim deportation prison. We had a case of somebody who was really sick. He was every week or whatever conveyed to the hospital out of fainting. He was taking medications of up to 20, 21 on a daily basis. We realized at the end of the day that nevertheless his illness, nevertheless the lawyer's intervention, we see the tricks between the courts and the region's presidium just trying to connive with the doctors. They are doctors who are just legitimating the people as fine and fit to travel. They force them to take medicines to calm their blood pressure down or to calm their situation so as to enable them enforce the deportation, and whatever happens to them after the deportation is not their business. There was a case last year of a mentally for a psychiatric patient who was deported to Nigeria. she was abandoned at the airport because she ended up dancing at the airport and singing, like acting in front of the airport for weeks before the airport authorities could find a way to get her somewhere else, or whether she found her way out herself, I don't know. But what it is they convey somebody who is psychiatric, who is a psychiatric patient who was really sick, without caring about how it goes further when she's deported and abandoned her in Lagos. So there are quite many cases of such. They give them medication and say, okay, after the medications, with the medications, they'll be fine, without considering how they can even go further with this medication, how they can go for special doctors and checkup if they have to continue with such medications. And I think for some of them, there was a case of this guy in Foxheim where the doctor in Nigeria said the medications they were giving to him were bad for his health, that he could not imagine why they could give him so much medications, that the medications were not good for him. So you can see it is just like giving him medications just to force his blood pressure to be low to enable them to deport him to Nigeria. And if he dies after that, it's no business. After all, he even mentioned it that one policeman told him that, yes, Germany don't want to take responsibility of him when he dies, that he can go and die in his country. Just as they were conveying him to the airport and the flight and the pilots refused to take him because he said he was sick and he cannot take him on board the flight. The policeman was angry and he mentioned it to him and said, yes, you think Germany is ready to take responsibility of your health. They will not do anything about it, and we don't want you to die. You just have to go and die in your country. So you can imagine how horrible that could sound.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's devastating, those things that you share with us here. And maybe talking about often, I guess, like people who are deported and who are sick are also mentally, I mean, it's often, I think, psychological illnesses, maybe also of what they experienced in their home countries, what they might have experienced on their way to Europe, or how they have been treated here. And maybe if you have any assessment of to what extent would you say to those psychological issues, the situation, how they are received here, and how the German state treats them, how that adds to psychological problems. Maybe if you have any idea about that.
Yeah, for us, arriving in Europe is second persecution, as we call it. Because after the whole threat and whatever stress having to do with the whole process of leaving your country and finally arriving maybe in one of the African countries, getting stranded and experiencing slavery like in Libya and around the Sahel and Sahara Desert area. Then on the long run, reaching Europe, the first thing is you think that you are already in a country where you feel, yes, life will be respected, your life will be better. The moment you arrive here, you wouldn't know that it's the second persecution. That's what we tell them. You arrive here, first of all, the harsh and hostile situation you are first of all welcomed with, the so-called asylum process, becomes another process to ruin you. So you can imagine with the hope of like 360 degrees reaching here to say, okay, thank God I'm in Europe. And then finally finding yourself that yes, the same Europe with all the wish, with the hope that is supposed to be like heaven for you with your expectations, is now turning to a point zero. So you can imagine how terrible this can, how terrible this can be. So that is exactly the situation that we are talking about. So the whole situation of isolation in the refugee camp, the whole situation of letter threats, you see yellow letters, your heart skips, the whole situation of aggressive nature of letters you receive in a language that you are not even conversant with, and then rules upon rules. You are not allowed to walk. You are not allowed to get some special medical attention without an express order from a so-called official doctor of the state who is always going to be against you, or you don't have a right to be here and you don't have a right to be there. And at the end of the day, you are locked up in a room, you are isolated in a camp and need to live with different persons you never knew before, and you are forced to accept everything the way it is. Your right is taken away from you. And then after all this process, you try your best to be the best you can, avoid anything that is crime. But at the end of the day, you are still a criminal, because even coming to this country alone is assumed to be crime because you are not wanted here.
Thank you. Thank you for giving this insight, and I think there would be many topics that we could maybe get into deeper. You mentioned the medical support people receive in the camps and so on and so forth, but before we said you only have half an hour, and I don't want to take more time away from you. Maybe as a last question, you are active in the network Refugees for Refugees, and maybe in, you said, in other organizations. Concerning this, how could maybe our listeners support your work, and maybe what else would be a wish from you to tell the people who are listening to our program today?
It's actually difficult to see what kind of support people should offer, I think. So, but then basically what I think is it is very clear now that the situation of refugees is very visible in the society since the last 4 or 5 years, unlike in the past 10 years. So a lot of people are also getting in contact with refugees. But what I want to say is people should try as much as possible to be close to refugees, understand exactly what the situation is, the way it is. To an extent also, we all should understand that, yes, whatever is happening here today is happening because we allow it to happen, especially as members of the German society. And so the racist laws, the repression of refugee discriminatory policies, it's only existing if we allow it to exist, because the people have the power. So what we are seeing in effect is listen to the refugees, get close to them, try to see the perspective of a better future that they are thinking about. And then I think the issue of what to do for them can reveal itself. We all have to fight against this whole class society, and where people are repressed every day and people are classified between the rich and the poor. So we are fighting for equal rights for all, and it's not only having to do with only refugees, it's equal rights also amongst the German between the rich and the poor. So it's a general struggle. It's not having to do with having papers here alone or having the right to stay, but it's having to do with global justice, equal right for all. So I think the issue of what to do is, if we discuss together, if we find a common line to draw together, we will continue to know what exactly is needed from time to time.